Good evening. It's Tuesday, October 25th, 11:19 p.m., and you are listening to the Peach Pit After Dark, the one podcast covering the Peach Pit, a Flophouse review podcast. Tonight's episode will focus on Flophouse Mini 63, the Peach Pit, so it's recommended that you listen to that first. Before we get started, let me introduce our guests. Right out of the gate, we have the man with the plan. And the plan ain't pretty. Dan McCoy. Hey, Dan McCoy, thanks for joining us.
Is this how you do it at the Peach Pit? You tell the actual date and time that we record the show? Is that a thing that
this is how we do it on the Peach Pit After Dark? Sorry to interrupt you, Dan. You are the guest in this house. I just want to make sure that the listeners weren't confused and thought that they were listening to the Peach Pit. This is the Peach Pit After Dark.
No, that is confusing. Thank you for clarifying.
No problem. And we have some more guests. The next one, of course, it's the motor-mouthed maniac of New York himself, Elliot Kalin. Elliot, thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me, Stu. I've always wanted to be on the Peach Pit After Dark, my favorite after-show podcast.
Thank you. Yes. Now, Stuart, you said we have
Notice how quickly I grasped the concept as opposed to Dan. Who stumbled his way through it.
I grasped the concept.
Dan, stay beautiful. Stay beautiful.
I realized that this was a whole separate line rather than a special within the Peach Pit. Also, you said that we have more guests. So beyond Elliot,
thank you so much for setting this up, Dan. Yes, that's right. Okay. Let me introduce our last guest for this episode. That's the information broker to the movie Jokers. That's right. Spaghetti Jones is here, everybody.
What?
Oh, yeah! Thanks for having me here, everybody. It's great to come back to my one of my favorite podcasts. I actually like this one more than the Peach Pit and more than the Flophouse.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. I really apologize.
Well, thanks for nothing, Dan.
I thought that this was a character that Stuart was introducing for the first time, but now I recall that, of course, he's the beloved. What was he? He's both a robber and. He's like an informant.
I'm a shoeshine boy who also informs about movies.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And occasionally robs banks, if I'm correct, right?
Sometimes. Cool. But that's I don't like to advertise that part of my resume.
Certainly. Yeah, you wouldn't want to. That's not on your cover letter.
But you do advertise that you are an informant, which means that people, we get mad at you.
About aware of movies, though, right?
Yeah, it's not like you're informing criminals. He's more of a publicist.
I guess that's a kind of less dramatic way to describe what I do, and let's not forget the shoe shining.
Mm-hmm. Now,
I hope this is a rough approximation of my voice. I got to admit, I'm not fully sure exactly how I talked before.
Nope.
I remember there was a certain amount of mispronunciation, but I don't really remember exactly too many of the other details about my own voice, which is strange. I must have gotten knocked on the head with a cocoa nut earlier tonight.
It's quite possible. Well, despite that injury, I'm glad that you made it here, Spaghetti Jones. Now, let's just jump right into it, guys. My first question for the three of you, mainly Dan and Elliot here, is when I, Stuart Wellington, host of the Flophouse, host of the Peach Pit, host of the Peach Pit After Dark, when I came to you with the premise for the Peach Pit as a Flophouse mini, what was your initial reaction?
I think I did what I normally do, which is sort of project my attitudes about a project onto others, and I thought to myself, that sounds complex. I wouldn't like to do it, so Stuart probably won't actually do this idea.
Okay. That makes sense. Elliot, do you have any feedback here?
I don't actually remember being presented with the idea beforehand, but I thought, you know what? Stuart, he's taken me on a lot of joyrides. Metaphorically, I've been blindfolded in the back of his late model van many times, and he's always brought me to a great destination rather than a basement. And so I was like, okay, let's him loose. Let's take him where we're gonna go. And I don't think I was disappointed. Was I, Spaghetti? No, you loved it.
And to be fair, I've been in some great basements too in my time. So it's a false dichotomy.
In college I saw a lot of shows in basements, and I played ping pong in a basement or two.
I'm bringing it to it. My new frame of reference as a California resident in Los Angeles, there's very few houses with basements because of earthquake danger. So here, taking some to a basement is slang for, I'm going to bury you in the foundation.
No,
of my
I
house.
Catch your drift. Oh. I just didn't want to, be There's some great basements out there.
You're right. There might be some basements listening.
On basements.
We don't want to offend our basement listeners.
And how often do you come across that slang, Elliot, in your day to day life?
In LA, almost daily. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anytime you're trying to park, or I don't know what, go to.
Yeah. Anytime I'm trying to parkour. Yeah.
Anytime you're trying to parkour.
Yeah.
You start threatening people.
Hey, get off of my aerial, or I'm going to take you to my basement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time I try to parkour, I end up in the hospital.
Oh, wow. That's too bad. Is it the hospital located in District B13?
Yeah.
I think it's because you love to entertain the sick children there. You hop over that's roofs right. and through fences to get there and entertain them.
I have a mistaken belief that the best medicine is fancy walking.
So, not to,
as opposed
to
casual walking, which is Christopher walking.
Yeah.
And not fancy walking his billionaire brother who wears a tuxedo and is often at fancy galas.
Or the country version, walking in Memphis. So, just to clarify, if this is your first time tuning into the Peach Pit After Dark, this is a podcast where we talk about and review an episode of the podcast The Peach Pit, which is a podcast that reviews an episode of the Flophouse podcast.
Okay.
Okay? Following?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what episode of the Peach Pit are we reviewing?
We are reviewing the episode of the Peach Pit that reviews the episode of the Flophouse covering Amityville in space. Uh-huh. That can be found in the feed of the sure. Flophouse mini number 63.
Okay.
This is the middle of Pittober, the month when the Peach Pit talked about Shocktober episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the movies of Pitoff. That was when Ronnie Chang was on the show to talk about Catwoman.
That's actually true. Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things talked about in this episode of the Peach Pit, of course, was the anniversary, 15 years, guys. And let's take us back there.
Oh.
Well, the screen is being shared. For those at home, Stuart is sharing his screen.
Mm-hmm.
The image hasn't come up for me yet.
I've got
the words. Stuart Wellington started screen sharing.
It appears to be
it's
the episode
intriguing.
Flophouse Mini 63, The Peach Pit. I was weird that this entirely different show is in the feed for our show, but...
it's the podcast equivalent of when that Max Headroom guy hacked into mm-hmm. that local television feed and just said a lot of weird things and they never caught him. And now he's the president of the United States. That's right. I can now reveal that was Joe Biden that pulled off the famous Max Headroom television hack.
Now, while you guys were talking, I was playing a clip from
not a big response to me finally pulling the Max Headroom mask off of one of America's most notorious video hackers. All right.
Sorry.
Well, I can only assume our listeners are peeing all over themselves in surprise, but you guys are taking it very, very stoically.
Well, I'm interested in the actual thing that Stuart's about to tell us.
All right. Fair point. You know what? Deep Throat, don't reveal yourself. I'm too busy going to this
Deep
carnival.
Was.
Jimmy Hoffa's body, I don't need to know where you are. I'm about to go watch TV.
I mean, I don't need to know where Jimmy Hoffa's body is.
Not with that attitude. Stu, you were saying?
So while you were talking about that, I was attempting to share audio on my end, and I'm assuming that happened or didn't happen.
It didn't happen. That's why we kept talking through the entire thing.
It didn't happen here either,
happen at all. Okay, well, I think it's probably a good time for me to double-check my Zoom settings. Because it played perfectly fine for me, and I'm sure is it showing you the image of my screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but it won't actually make the sound.
I
That's
don't
confusing.
Hear the noise.
No, I haven't heard
end.
It.
There we go. Okay. And here, just to prompt you guys again, this is talking about celebrating 15 years of the Flophouse and resume. So, Dan, it has been 15 years for you, as you are the creator, founder, genius behind the Flophouse.
So,
how do you feel about this little house you've constructed?
I guess I feel good. I mean, like, it's definitely... I did not expect actual success when I started it, I have to say. So I feel good about it.
What did you expect?
I don't know. I was throwing a lot of stuff against the wall back then, trying to like figure out how to make some kind of showbiz career. And I guess so, yeah, and that's what happened. I made some kind of showbiz career. Mm-hmm.
And you made a showbiz career, right? Now, the question is, Dan, thinking about it now, what would you do differently if you could go back 15 years and do this whole podcast thing all over?
Just the podcast decisions, no other decisions?
No, you could change all this. I mean, this is a safe space. You can talk about everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We're after dark, Dan.
Yes.
So
was there a hitchhiker you ran over?
Do I have like a sports almanac of some kinds with me?
Sure. Yes, you do have a sports okay. almanac. Well, what would your version of the Biff Verse be, Dan?
You know how they have those casinos in the Biff Verse and whatever. I think.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
it would be more of kind of a DuckTales. Themed amusement park that would be the dystopian
all right.
Hill Valley.
The duckstopian future yeah. that Dan McCoy is putting together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, the podcast would be the same though, right?
Well, my point. Yeah. My point is I would go back and I would make a lot of money in some other endeavor so that I didn't suck the life out of the creative things in my life. Not this podcast. I want to make it clear. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about other stuff.
You're talking about the Peach Pit After Dark.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to keep my love of comedy intact so I could do this podcast as a hobby while I was independently wealthy.
That sounds great. Elliot, what changes might you make to your life?
If I went back 15 years?
Uh-huh. If you say don't ever do the Flophouse in the first place, I would be impressed.
Why would that impress you? That's a curious.
because it's a wild way to make everyone mad at you.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I'm slowly evolving into a heel as I get older, but I'm not that much of a heel yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably I would. There's some outside of work things that I would pursue more, but the Flophouse, I'd just keep doing it the same way I do it. Maybe I'd try to get us to put more into publicity, put more effort into publicizing the Flophouse. But you know what? We're doing great.
Like skywriting and stuff? Or
and in this world, survival is success. So yeah, skywriting.
Yeah.
We'd probably put fortunes in fortune cookies that were like, you will listen to the Flophouse, that kind of stuff.
We probably could have gotten professional earlier, although arguably we're still not there. So that's another change we could have done.
I guess. I mean, doing it for not waiting, 7 or 8 years to start charging money to do the show was somewhat of a mistake, but
yeah, just putting it out there for everyone. I probably would not have recorded every episode for the first 10 years very drunk. Maybe 8 years. I don't know. Who cares? Whatever. It's fine. Don't listen to the early episodes. I'm a different man.
I mean, I feel like there must be some episodes in the first 8 to 10 years that you can listen
to. Yeah, the honest answer is there's probably plenty of things I said back then that I wouldn't stand behind now.
Yeah, you're like, Donald Trump's going to be the best president ever, et cetera, et cetera.
No, I think I'm on record with my feelings about that.
Although there was that time where I made a joke during the G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra episode, and I said that the American people would never elect a leader with that crazy of a haircut, and that was proven incorrect.
Incredibly wrong.
And, yes. Oh, man.
You had to eat those words.
It's your fault that we got a man that like
is
that.
Because America said, oh, yeah, we'll show you.
Mm-hmm. A bitter meal, the broccoli rob of meals. So on this episode of The Peach Pit, there was a moment where Stuart made a reference joke in one direction, and Dan and Elliot decided to go in a different direction. Let's listen.
I'm upgrading it to volcanic. It's as hot as you can get.
Oh, wow. Smoking, somebody stop me.
Smoking like aces.
So,
if your aces are smoking, please call the Hoyle company and complain.
Yeah, stop playing your Texas Hold'em or whatever it is, you know.
Drop those. Don't hold them.
Yeah.
Drop those cards.
So, I decided to go in the mask direction. You guys went smoking aces. Now, which reference do you think is more appropriate for the Flophouse listeners? Which I feel like the mask is a little more common. Smoking aces is a little more niche.
It feels like a false choice. Yeah. I don't think that we need to. I don't think either of those choices is inappropriate.
Registered and were appreciated by the audience. Mm-hmm.
How many times have you seen both of those movies?
Let's see. I would say that I've seen The Mask maybe 2.5 times and Smoking Aces once.
And wow. I would say, as a kid, I probably watched The Mask, I don't know, 6 times.
100
Smoking
times.
Smoking Aces, yeah. I have never seen.
Now, okay.
It's a movie that for me is only a poster.
Is this, are you, you know, is there an implication here, Stuart, that this was a superior reference because it was, because here's my secret, my secret to not succeeding in comedy. I've always had a stubborn belief that the stranger, less accessible reference will be funnier, which has, you know, led me to where I am today, sort of a middle-tier broadcaster.
It's why I think there was a big hullabaloo over at The Daily Show when you were working there, when you pushed so hard for that Toxic Avenger for President running campaign that you wanted to have appear at least twice a week on the show. Mm-hmm, and people were like, I just don't think anyone really remembers that much about the Toxic Avenger. And Dan was like, that's the point. That's the point. And then once we've got their interest, we turn it into the Toxic Crusaders, the cartoon show, which is even more obscure.
Yeah.
That was an interesting choice, Dan. You didn't share that with our listeners. Do you want to elaborate any more on this Toxic Avenger thing?
Is, as far as I know, a made-up story, although, you know...
As far as you know, are you being interviewed by a Senate committee? That was a very covering your bases
My memory
answer.
Is very bad, Elliot. But... I do want to say this, listening back to this episode of The Peach Pit, Alex is doing a great job producing. Like, with these nice headphones on, it sounds crisp. Everyone sounds different. Like, there's a feeling of dimensionality to the sound. Love it.
So, yeah, Dan's referencing Alex Smith, who is the producer on the Peach Pit After Dark, as well as The Peach Pit and The Flophouse, as well as many other shows,
some of which
you may hear later. The next question... of course, goes for Mr. Spaghetti Jones. And the question is, how's your podcast Curly's Corner going?
Yeah, unfortunately, I had to take a short break from Coily's Coiner. That's my podcast. And, you know, just a lot of things going on in my personal life. And I just couldn't, now that I'm remembering more what spaghetti sounds like, it's just, you know, I think I might get back to it. But now, it's just been a busy time. It's been a busy time for Spaghetti Jones and Coily's Coiner.
You mentioned problems in your personal life. I think this might be the right time to address. Are you ready to address the public allegations that have been made against you, Spaghetti Jones?
I'm not familiar with any allegations that might have been made against me. It seems so.
I just feel like
I don't know what you're talking about.
I feel like you should we should talk about them here on air as opposed to dodging them entirely. This is a safe space for you, Spaghetti Jones.
I mean, it would be a safe space if people weren't ambushing me already with these questions. But sure. Well, what do you want to talk about? I'm an open book. I'm an informant. I'm an open book. I tell people all the time. So I'm always do whatever. Well, and sometimes I rob banks, but what's that? Wow. What are you saying about me?
Your silence is deafening. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Spaghetti Jones.
I mean,
we're going to continue the show.
Was that my time? I need to get to finish.
That's your time. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I guess the return of Coily's Coiner, my podcast, which I guess I have to put out to clear my name. against allegations that may or may not exist based on things that certainly never happened. Can you give me one clue as to which specific of the many allegations leveled against me?
So the next
you're referring to?
The next thing I want to talk about in this recent episode of The Peach Pit, of course. Sorry,
yeah,
Curly,
sure.
We got to move on. Is of course there's a moment of Star Wars talk, and let's get right into it. There's sex.
I know, Dan, that you would rather be a modern-day George Lucas and go back and fix what you think are problems with the original, which are really what people love about it.
I see.
But, you know, maybe you want to insert a scene with Jabba the Hutt that there's really no point for because it's just repeating information that was in the Greedo scene.
But what if someone steps on his tail and his eyes bug out all funny?
Yeah, what if the power dynamic that's being established between Han Solo, smuggler afraid of his life, and Jabba the Hutt, incredible crime lord, a member of the band, the Incredible Crime Lords.
Uh-huh.
What if that was
also
for a
member
moment,
of the family, the Incredibles? Mm.
Yeah. What if that was just completely ignored, and he stepped on his tail, thus having Han Solo, I guess, put Jabba in his place for a moment with no punishment whatsoever? Yeah, you want to do that kind of thing with Small Timber, Small Vember, and you're like, oh, I always meant it to be Small Timber, so I guess I'll go back and change it so that me as an old man is happy, even though it's making millions of fans around the world unhappy. That's how you feel about it?
So, is this the first time that we have ever talked about Star Wars on the Flophouse?
I don't remember any other ones. Actually, just to break kayfabe for the moment, two things. One, I was looking for the word undercut, during that, and I just mm-hmm. it just wasn't coming into my head. But that's what I should have said. I undercut the menace of the power dynamics. But also, someone today was telling me how much they loved our routine about Luke Skywalker and the people on Tatooine assuming that he killed his aunt and uncle and then fled to escape punishment after the events of the first Star Wars.
Was that one of those bits that I started and then Elliot's like, I'm going to take this ball and run a marathon with it?
Exactly what happened is Stuart picked up that diamond and said, what is this? And described it. And then I snatched it from his hands and ran away and put it in my own personal bank.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the Deagol to your Smeagol.
You're the Jack Kirby to my Stan Lee. We were like, look at this cool idea. And I'm like, yeah, it's mine now. I own it. Anyway, goodbye.
I feel like for a non-specifically tagged Star Wars podcast, the Flophouse and the Peach Pit talk about Star Wars quite a bit.
Yeah, we're white men in our middle age. What are you talking about?
At this point, Star Wars is possibly the closest thing America has to a shared common culture.
Yeah,
it's kind of what the Bible was to the 18th and 19th century.
Yep.
And what I don't know, what would it have been in the first half of the 20th century? A shared vision of democracy was in the second half of the 20th century.
When Little Nell died and everyone cried about it.
Yeah, just all those people on the waiting on the docks for that ship to come in from George Lucas's private island, asking, "Is Jar Jar still around? What happened to Jar Jar? Mm-hmm, tell us. We can't wait for you to unload the manuscripts of Star Wars."
Exactly.
Nobody ever talks about Big Nell.
Nobody talks about the boy in the bubble anymore.
And the baby with the baboon.
Or the balloon. The balloon. It was the boy in the balloon.
Yeah, yeah. Because what, business is magical and magical is art, or science is magic and magic is art? How does that sound?
Now we're just reciting lyrics. And I see that Stuart is hovering over some sort of other clip.
So what an amazing segue would be if this was a part of the episode where we talked about Paul Simon.
it would be amazing, partly because I'm not particularly familiar with the works of Paul Simon outside of, I guess, his hits. Dan, I'm assuming, is into all the deep cuts and B-sides of Paul Simon's catalog.
I wouldn't go that far, but I had some of his, you know, his early solo albums.
Review.
You took us down Paul Simon Drive, Stuart, and I wasn't prepared.
I drove the car into a ditch. I pointed at Paul Simon Drive and said, "Hey, what's down there?" And then Stuart jerked the wheel over to head straight down it. Unfortunately, what was there was a brick wall.
It's okay. The thing is that we can chalk that one up to a whoopsie, and whoopsies are a big part of the Peach Pit. And so we're going to talk about probably the biggest whoopsie of the night. That's right, Grease's jeans.
That was not from Greece's Jesus. That was not from Jesus Christ Super Crystal. No.
Wait, what are you trying to say? Jesus Christ Super Crystal, and you said Greece's jeans?
Yes.
Greece's jeans, Dan. Mm. So take us back there. What was going on in your head?
Well, if you listen, I never actually said Grease's jeans, but I did go along.
What did you
Ellie,
say, Grease's jeans? What was Grease's it?
Grease's Jesus.
Grease's Jesus? All right.
I
So I guess that was my whoopsie.
I was trying to get to.
What Dan was trying to say was Greasy Jesus.
Less popular. It had a harder time finding followers.
Yeah. We have a good time on this podcast.
What if I just started talking during the clips and then the listener wouldn't know what level of reality they were currently in?
I mean, that would be kind of fitting for tonight. So
if anyone listening knows what level of reality they're on, I would I would so much appreciate the help in that. So please write in and tell us what level of reality we're currently at, because every day I think I've got it, and it turns out I'm way off.
So we keep getting emails about the Church of Greasy Jesus. Mm. And so I have to ask, Dan, have you been saved yet?
Have I been thinking about turning it into a real religion?
Mm-hmm. For the tax you heard breaks? The oily news?
I mean, we could, you know, well... What if we were sort of a benevolent Scientology? I was going to say we could be like a figure like L. Ron Hubbard, but, you know, there's a lot of horrible stuff. What if we, like, started kind of just like a religion that was just a place for, you know, people to hang out after work?
I think a benevolent religion is what Jesus tried to do, and it kind of got out of his control at a certain point.
His mistake was he died.
Not the first time he died.
Like, when he died, that part kind of, like, made his name. But then when he left after he came back, that was the mistake. Because then it was in our hands, and we kind of messed with
I don't think technically that you know, priests would say that he died at that point when he went to heaven. But I like the idea that Jesus died and then he came back and was like, see? And then someone shot him. Or like, he was like, see, I redeemed everybody. And then he got in a car and the car, you know, just hit a truck or something like that. He had a whole big plan that, didn't get paid off.
Yeah, it's like a Final Destination.
I think, you know.
I want to follow Stuart's thinking here So the ultimate Final Destination story is Jesus's, because he did die on the cross and then escaped death and came back. Uh-huh. And that Tony Todd then followed him around, I guess, waiting for the elaborate death traps to finally catch him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Tony Todd was there to provide, like, knowing color commentary, but not actually do anything bad. He's not a bad guy.
No.
Here's my problem. I think that the issue is kind of like how the Constitution was written a long time ago, and then we're like, we can't change it because we've decided that this document is perfect for no particular reason. Likewise.
And against the explicit wishes of the people who wrote the original document. Yeah. Who said, please change this.
So I think,
just like Star Wars.
Bible-wise, we haven't been doing our, like, regular updates. Like, we should be on version, 2.0.8.7.
Yeah, you keep getting this notification in the upper right-hand corner of your screen. You're like, what's this red exclamation point for?
I try to set it up. I plug my Bible in at night. I leave it turned on, and it doesn't update.
All you get is a fire.
It tells me...
You burned your house
and then
down.
I gotta get a new one, and the new one still doesn't have the most recent iOS.
Yeah,
you know, all this talking about all this talking about religion makes me think about have you guys tried microdosing?
No.
That's great, because our show today is of course, that means the Peach Pit After Dark is sponsored by Microdose Gummies. That's right. Microdose Gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. You know, I'm a user, Dan's a user, Elliot, I'm sure, has considered it. And for me, it is a great way to wind down at the end of the night. It makes me a little more creative and helps me sleep better.
I should probably use it. I should get around to it.
Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code FLOP to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in our show description. And again, that's microdose.com, code FLOP. Daniel?
And we're also sponsored by HelloFresh. Time to cozy up and save money by cooking at home. Fall is a perfect time to experience the delicious taste and unparalleled convenience of HelloFresh. Subscribe to HelloFresh and check save money off your fall to-do list. HelloFresh is 25% cheaper than takeout and less expensive than grocery shopping, too. HelloFresh is now offering vegan recipes on the menu every week, made without animal products of any kind, like dairy, meat, eggs, or honey. Enjoy meals like sweet chili tofu bowls or spicy coconut curry stir fry. We had some HelloFresh here, chez moi, recently. I turned into Miss yep. Piggy for a second. Yep. Uh-huh.
Chez moi. I thought you said chamois, like a rag that we'd use to clean a
car. Not to interrupt and throw us off track, but Miss Piggy, definitely in my celebrity hall pass category.
Okay, well, I'll let Frank Oz know. And he can I don't know. Dig up extra puppet.
Do it.
I'm sure HelloFresh.
Don't call my bluff. I'll do it.
Love this in the middle.
Now, Now I'm at Frank Oz showing up at Hinterlands tomorrow with the puppet, and it's like the first episode of Black Mirror. He's like, do it. Go ahead. You said you'd do it.
Like, okay.
Do it right I'll now.
This is awful. I don't like... I'm sorry that I went down this road. HelloFresh.
How dare you mention Miss Piggy?
Let's... HelloFresh. Audrey and I had some... just recently, and I am not just, I'm not, I kid you not when I say that about half of the conversation was about how good the meal was. And I got the healthy meal, and I think that a lot of times the barrier to making that kind of stuff is just the convenience, literally having it around. And I found that, you know, having these things meant that, you know, instead of me having to think, like, what can I make? And my brain drifting to something grosser, we instead had a nice, healthy meal. So
and
yeah.
Oh, sorry, want to say that?
No, no, go on.
I wanted to chime in and say that we also had some HelloFresh here at our non-Miss Piggy affiliated house. And it was also delicious. I got the family-friendly meals because I have two small children who are not exactly adventuresome eaters, but we had, there were these like pork tostadas, I think they were, and those were a huge hit with both me and the boys. And then also this really great macaroni and cheese that they had that the boys also really loved. And so I think if you got a family and you don't want to even have to think about what you're going to make and you just want to have all the stuff there for you, go with HelloFresh. They got it. The food's really good and the ingredients were very fresh. And you know what they said to me? When I open them up?
What?
Nothing. They're food. But oh,
okay.
I felt like they were saying hello.
Oh, okay. Imagined. No, that's what you're leading us to.
It's true. I chopped up some ginger. I'm like, this ginger is juicy, not desiccated like the ginger I usually get at the store. Mm-hmm. Anyway, not go to
dusty like Ginger Rogers, yeah. The mummified corpse of whom you dug up and put in your closet.
Not for eating.
The recipe called for her, Elliot. Anyway, go to HelloFresh.com/flop65 and use code flop65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/flop65 and code flop65 for 65% off plus free shipping. We promise.
That's a huge discount.
We promise. Yep. No mummies remains included.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart, you have a message too.
Elliot actually is going to be doing a...
I'll take the Jumbotrons on this one. That's right. We've got a Jumbotron today, and the Jumbotron says like this. And it doesn't really say, again, like it. I'm going to say it. It's not the Jumbotron talking out loud. Yeah. This is me now.
Uh-huh.
The Jumbotron, through me, says, Art Slice is a podcast that makes art history and sometimes color theory rowdy and accessible through storytelling, goofs, pantrymons, and real-world art insights. A good starting point is episode 17, featuring sculptor Maria Marchines, the Wheel in a Galley guy, Marcel Duchamp, and the work they made as a result of their semi-secret love affair. Art Slice. Subscribe on your pod player or go to artslicepod.com. And yeah, go and subscribe on your pod player or wherever you listen to podcasts or go to artslicepod.com. Again, that's Art Slice. And you know me, I'm interested in anything Marcel Duchamp related, so I think I'm going to listen.
Nice.
Great.
I'm Jesse Thorne. On the next Bullseye, our annual Halloween Spectacular. We'll interview Anna Fabrega from Los Espookies, Monet Exchange from Drag Race, and the great R.L. Stein, creator of Goosebumps.
You know, I don't really get too deep into the real fears. It's a lot safer to do a dummy coming to life.
That's on the next Bullseye for MaximumFun.org and NPR. Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, the founder of Maximum Fun, and I have a special announcement. I'm no longer embarrassed by my brother, and me. You know, for years, each new episode of this supposed advice show was a fresh insult. A depraved jumble of erection jokes, ghost humor, and frankly, this is for the best, very little actionable advice. But now, as they enter their twilight years, I'm as surprised as anyone to admit that it's gotten kind of good. Justin, Travis, and Griffin's witticisms are more refined, like a humor column in a fancy magazine. And they hardly ever say bazinga anymore. So, After you've completely finished listening to every single one of all of our other shows, why not join the McElroy Brothers every week for My Brother, and Me.
Hey, Grease Monkeys, welcome back to the Peach Pit Pit Stop, your one-stop spot for all things related to the Peach Pit and the Peach Pit After Dark. Tonight, I'm joined by two members of the Flophouse Podcast. That's right, Dan McCoy, Elliot Kaling, podcast superstars. Thanks so much for joining me. Now, you guys are reviewers of media, okay? You guys review movies. I'm sure you guys also do some stuff on the side. What do you guys like to do? Do you guys do Letterboxd? Do you use Yelp? What's up? Do you like people's social media posts?
I mean, occasionally I've been known to like a post or two, Stuart.
I feel like you're undercutting your own Letterboxxd account because I feel
Dan,
like you're
very big on Letterboxxd, and also we've been known on the Flophouse to talk tube with a certain two.
That's true. We talk tube sometimes on the Flophouse podcast. So what do you like about do you guys? I know that you do. You review things professionally, but do you get any joy out of doing it non-professionally?
I mean, I, as referenced before, I mostly get joy out of non-professional things because professional things always end up figuring out a way to mess with you. I'm on Letterboxd, Dan K. McCoy, like my Twitter, letterboxd.com,
Dank McCoy.
I log everything I see. I make a rule that I have to write something about every one of those things. Sometimes it's an actual review where I'm making interesting points, and sometimes it's just, a joke or some personal thoughts, and it's very short. But, check it out.
Now, as reviewers of pop culture and media, can you think of a time when reviewing something has, like recommending something to someone or reviewing something favorably has come back and bit you on the ass? Guess not. Probably. It happens to me all the time when I recommend things to people and then they're like, hey, that movie you recommended, it wasn't good. And I'm like, no shit, you're an idiot. I recommended good stuff. It's not my fault you don't like good stuff.
Yeah, I don't have too many interactions like that. Even if someone says they didn't like it, I'm usually like, okay, that was your opinion. I think the closest I came to that was when
be meaner to people, Elliot, I think.
I don't know. Well, many years ago, I recommended the movie Hedwig and the Angry Inch to my mother. Uh-huh. And she told me, afterwards, she said, I couldn't finish it. That movie's for younger people.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I was just left to unpack what that comment meant. Yeah, yeah. But otherwise,
so you're like, I haven't. Maybe next time, Mom, you should try Spring Breakers. Or Kids. I mean, it's for kids right in the title.
It says Kids right there. Let's watch it.
I mean, I feel like I'm almost defiantly like contrarian sometimes in
what
not in like an angry like troll on Twitter way, but like with my Letterboxd reviews, like I'm
more like a happy troll working in a mine or as a blacksmith
mine troll. Uh-huh, or
mine troll. Where, a troll that has plenty of food,
like if I'm rating
long luxurious beard.
What the bearded troll.
Again, my Letterboxd is for myself, so I'm rating something on there. I rate it as basically according to how much I enjoyed it and throw the ideas of objectivity out the window. And I figure, like, if anyone's reading this is like me, they'll know, hey, I'm like that guy. I like that thing. But in real life, I'm very terrified to recommend anything to anyone because I'm like, I don't know what you like. Whatever, man. Like, you figure it out. You'll probably get a...
That's how...
You'll probably do better.
I don't feel that way about movies, but I do feel that way about food. And I do have a very particular anxiety that I hate when someone is like, oh, yeah, well, why don't you just order for us?
Mm.
Or like, what's good here? And I do not like the idea of having to be responsible for what someone else is going to eat. That it just exciting.
That's, no, I agree. I don't want that responsibility. I agree with you, Audrey. Sometimes like, do I want this or do I want this? I'm like, why
do I look like a waiter?
Why have you gone beyond your own mind? This question, there's no one else who could possibly be more qualified to answer this question than yourself.
True, yeah.
Let me ask your tongue what it feels like. Audrey's tongue, which would you prefer? I don't know. What do you think? Don't ask me. I'm not going to eat it.
See, that's the trouble. Indecisive tongue.
Do you ever feel like a question like that is just like almost like a... Like, her metaphorical hand is reaching out and saying, Dan, I want to have a conversation.
No, you know, well, Stuart, you've, you know, right to the nub of the gist. I think that a lot of the interactions I previously got frustrated with, I learned like, oh, wait, no, this is an effort to make a human connection. Yeah, and yeah, that yeah. I should try and
not
indulge
just to
that
solve problems
rather than yeah. being a robot man.
Sometimes people ask questions just as a way of getting to, mm-hmm. to thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little kid, I expressed like excitement about like a rock and roll band. I think it was Queen, maybe. I think it was right around when Wayne's World came out, and I was like, wow, music's cool. And I remember my dad making like a snarky comment about it, and it immediately made me think like, oh, I will never express my interest in something again.
Yeah, that can be a harsh thing at an early age, especially
like
from an
stovetop learning. Don't worry, my issues with my dad are being extensively examined by me and my therapist.
This really is.
Oh, that's great.
This really is Flophouse After Dark at this point.
So
we're getting guys, real. This is like Taylor Swift's Midnights. You know, these are the conversations we have.
Real.
At midnight. It's 12:03 here.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, 12:03. Speaking of getting real.
Not where I am. 9:03, still prime time, baby.
Cool math. How am I doing as a host, guys?
I mean, you're really keeping us on point with barbs like that one.
There's a real Stewart's dad edge to that.
Yeah.
That's where I learned it.
Nice
math. Oh, my God.
I learned it from watching you.
Oh, my God. Do you ever do things and you're like, that's exactly like my fucking dad does?
Yeah.
Like, everything from, like, little conversation things to, like a weird vocal tick where I'm like, I can't believe I say it like that.
I mean, there are many times that I'm making, like, an expression with my face and I'm basically imagining either my dad or my two older brothers. Like, I'm like, I probably look like this from the outside.
Now, guys, we're talking about getting real. Let's get even more real.
Can we?
Do you guys think it was a good idea to bring Spaghetti Jones back?
I think
do people remember him? Is there any like Dan forgot he even existed? There's no fan art of Spaghetti Jones.
No,
is there?
He's not a popular character. And also, this was edited out by Alex, so of course the audience won't know this. But he had to be physically removed from the premises.
Yeah,
you
know,
yeah.
He caused a lot of trouble. Well, so it might have been better if you had brought back one of our more popular characters, like old lady who loves Tintin.
I'll say I'm fond of the character. I do think that maybe the implication that he's done horrible things was a turn that we didn't need to take.
Who knows? I mean, maybe that
unless you're setting
from
up
coming back
breadcrumbs
on.
For later on.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This is all for several episodes later on the Peach Pit After Dark. Yeah.
Well, we're actually on the Peach Pit Pit Stop right now. Peach Pit After Dark's a different show.
That's right.
But speaking of new shows. Hey. Things not going your way? Welcome back to Life's the Pits, the review podcast covering the Peach Pit, a Flophouse review podcast. Joining us in the pit today are Dan McCoy and Elliot Kalin. So, guys, has there been any drama on the Flophouse lately?
Where are we?
I guess the last show ended, and it's a new show.
We're
now.
In life. This is Life's the Pits.
Oh yeah. I mean, has there been any drama? I guess on the previous show we were on, we kind of got real, you know, and vulnerable.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, in this Peach Pit programming block, or this Flophouse discussion programming block, on what network is this?
This show is not on a network, although it recommends people check out the Maximum Fun network. Maybe at some point Maximum Fun will decide to accept Life's the Pits as a show for the for the network. Although it seems weird because it's a podcast that just focuses on reviewing other shows that review the Flophouse.
Yeah.
So, guys, where will this end? Are we just going to watch Amityville in space again?
You think that we're somehow sort of like how if you leave matter infinitely, it will break down, but then eventually reform into, you know, other shapes and eventually its original shape that somehow we're
going to... You have been microdosing, Dan.
We're
going
to circle around to Amityville again. Like, the infinite regress of this bit will eventually turn into us watching that film.
So, it's interesting that you talk about circles. Okay.
No definitive answer to that, but I guess how could there be?
No, yeah, unless Stuart reveals himself to be a god or Q-like figure, mm-hmm. Q from Star Trek The Next Generation, not Q, the conspiracy character.
Sort of the version of Kang from Loki or something, yeah.
It's interesting that you guys bring up a godlike figure, because...
Life reminds me of a stone here in the flophouse. Make a move when...
Shatterass, the king's former seneschal turned rogue chronomancer, has kidnapped your companion Tanzer Silverview in his clock of ages at the peak of his shattered tower.
Wait a minute, what's going on?
Rain lashed down on you as you huddle in the lee of a rocky outcrop. Elliot, of course, you'll be playing the role of Jeremy Scales Fang Battle. Dan, you'll be playing the role of Lucian Butt Watcher.
Sure.
Dark forces gather above the tower. You only have 90 minutes to stop Shatterass from completing
minutes.
His ritual, a ritual that Tanzer's noble
exactly
blood
was,
is a key component. How will you enter the Chronomancer's Keep? So why don't you guys gather your dice? You're going to need at least one D20, a couple of D6s, maybe a D4.
Are we supposed to have those on hand? Or
What if we decide to take a long rest?
Okay. Take a long rest you're going to want to take a short rest. You only have 90 minutes to prevent the ritual.
Well, I'm
the
kind
ritual.
Of hoping that, you know, circumstances will take care of themselves.
Dan's
you think Tanzer's going to free himself? I like this plan.
He's thinking globally, but he's acting locally, by which he means just a couple inches around him at the moment.
Yeah, sort of hyper-locally, where I just think about my own concerns.
So it sounds like you're not prepared to complete this flop tale. So I think we might have to save this for another future Flophouse mini.
Please.
So for Life's the Pits, the Peach Pit Pit Stop, and the Peach Pit After Dark, I've been Stuart Wellington, and I've been joined by my two pals, Elliot Kalin and Dan McCoy. We are representatives of the Flophouse Podcast, a great podcast that's on the Maximum Fun network of podcasts. Uh-huh. There's plenty of other good podcasts, arguably some as complicated as this one. In addition, this podcast is going to be heavily edited and hopefully juiced up by Alexander Smith, who has done plenty of great work for us. You can find him at Howell Doughty on various social media. He also does a great podcast called Fast Track, of which we are going to be guests on, I think, probably around the same time this episode drops. If you want to hear the spookiest, scariest song in the universe.
Sexiest, check, spookiest, scariest song.
I mean, I felt that went without saying, but I guess, yeah. Yeah, so thanks again, guys. Do you have anything else to plug?
The next iteration of this show, whatever it may be, I plug it. Now, I future plug it.
Bye!
Find clues and talk to Stu. Flop-tails. Not ponytails or some kind of bird tail.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.